and those who know I'm here from Hendon Baptist Church send their greetings to you. And we trust that you're surviving well through lockdown, and you're thriving as a church, and you're enjoying ministry in a different form, and you're finding ways to interact and have fellowship and support each other. Bless you through this time. The title that I have given for this morning's message is "We Are Our Brother's Keeper." We are our brother's keeper. And that title is clearly inspired by the story of Cain and Abel. The first murder in the Bible, Cain kills Abel. And when God comes to Cain and says to Cain, "Cain, where is your brother Abel?" Cain comes out with that cynical answer, doesn't he? That answer which is quite famous, echoes down through human history, where Cain replies, "Am I my brother's keeper? Am I my brother's brother?" Just such a cynical answer. The man who's just killed says, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Do you think you are your brother's keeper? Or do you think you have no responsibility for the person next door? That's the question. Specifically today, this is Cap Sunday. Do we or do we not believe we have responsibility to help the poor or those who perhaps we wouldn't classify it as poor, but those who got themselves into financial problems or difficulty? Do we believe that? There are plenty of people who agree with Cain. The poor should care for themselves. If you get into a mess, get yourself out of it. Many people would believe that and would have their philosophies and their justifications for saying that. But Christianity teaches very clearly that God cares for the poor, and that he expects his people to help the poor. And that he expects his people to help the poor. That's what we're taught as Christians. That's our teaching. So we've heard in our scripture today from James. James chapter 2, verses 4 to 7. And it just poses that question. James poses the question, "What good is it, my brother, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds?" And then he goes through, you know, suppose there's somebody who comes in and they've got nothing. And you just say, "Well, be warm, be fed, be clothed." And you don't do anything practical to help. What good is that? Says James. And then he has this very, very stark warning in that last verse, which Jenny read to us. In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by actions, is dead. Dead faith. This is clearly not any statement against justification by faith. This is clearly not a statement that goes against Paul's teaching in those respects, as some down the ages have thought, and indeed today do. What he's simply saying is, if you've got the real thing, the real faith, the real thing from which brings you to God, if you've got that faith, it will cause action. That's what he's saying. So just a little overview towards the end. We'll talk a little bit about some of the practical outworkings of this. But first I want to show that the theme of God's heart for the poor, for his people to help the poor, runs right the way through the whole of Scripture. You know, I tend these days not to use my proper paper Bible that much. I tend to use a tablet because I can get around more easily on it and those sort of things. But I brought my paper one today because I can illustrate this point better with a physical book. You can cut the Bible up into many different chunks. It's a remarkable book, isn't it? It has 66 authors. 66 books. It has probably something like 40 authors written over a period of maybe 1,500 years. My kind of rough estimate is about 8 countries of origin for different writings, 3 different languages that I can think of in the Bible. And yet it has a united message. You really would expect this message, wouldn't you, to be all over the place. The authors come from very different backgrounds. Some are shepherds, some are kings, some are scholars, some are fishermen, some are prophets, some are military generals. There's a doctor, there's a priest, there's a civil servant, there's a brother of Jesus. All these different sorts of authors are right in there working away. And from different contexts. They're from good times and bad times, from times of victory, from times when there's defeat, there's times of liberation, there's times of slavery. You've got authors from all these different periods. And you'd expect the Bible to be full of contradictions and pulling in different directions. But remarkably, it has a set of principles that run through it, like a word through a stick of rock. My wife comes from St. Anne's, right by Blackpool, and if you buy a stick of rock there, you're going to find that you can break the rock wherever you like, and it's got the same word. And as you go through the Bible, one of the threads that runs right the way through the Bible is this thread that God cares for the poor. And I want to demonstrate that from this physical book. So I've put some little tabs in here. You can cut the Bible up in a number of different ways. The way that the Lion Handbook to the Bible chops it up is the first five books, the law, then Israel's history, then poetry, then wisdom literature, then the prophets, then the Gospels and Acts, and then the letters. And I just want to give you a verse from each of those sources. So first of all, let's dip into the law, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 11. There will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed towards your brothers and towards the poor and needy in your land. A straight command. Just a few verses before, verse 7. Do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted towards your poor brother. Command to help the poor. What about Israel's history? Well, if we just dip into 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 8. This is Hannah's prayer. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He sets them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. See that? He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy. This hymn of Hannah's is certainly behind Mary's outpouring when she meets Elizabeth. That's certainly behind the Magnificat, as we call it, her prayer. That idea of lifting the poor. So that's Israel's history. What about poetry? Well, let's jump onto the Psalms. So here is Psalm 34, verse 10. My whole being will exclaim, who is like you, O Lord, who rescues the poor from those too strong for them, the poor and needy from those who rob them? I just want you to note in this psalm, there's a theme comes through in this psalm that is very common through the Old Testament, and that's, we're not talking about charity for the poor, we're talking about justice for the poor. It talks about rescue the poor from those too strong for them, the poor and the needy from those who rob them. And, you know, this has been quite a tradition in church history. Bishop Ambrose of Milan, going back to the 4th century AD, became bishop in about the 370 AD. He was one of the first Christian leaders to really bring out this theme of justice for the poor, because he was an Old Testament scholar. And he said primarily that the poor need justice, not charity. People get into financial problems for all sorts of reasons, and it's hard to get out of it. For Ambrose, the gold must flow from the church. Ambrose got into trouble because he melted down the gold from the vessels on the communion table to buy people's liberty after they'd been captured in a war. He said, well, that's what Jesus would do. He would melt the gold down to get the slave liberated. And that's what he did. Okay, wisdom literature. Proverbs. Very, very simple statement. The man who shuts his ears to the cry of the poor, he too will cry out and not be answered. Wow. The man who shuts his ears to the cry of the poor, he too will cry out and not be answered. What about the prophets? Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17. Learn to do right, seek justice, encourage the oppressed, defend the cause of the fatherless, plead the cause of the widow. Just lists some reasons why people might get into financial problems. The oppressed, the fatherless, the widow. And we're to seek justice for them. What about going on then into the New Testament? Here's, I could have picked many, many words from Jesus. But here we have in Luke chapter 12 and verse 33. Sell your possessions, give to the poor, provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Then you go on down and you come into the letters. And here in Galatians, chapter 2, verse 10. And this is the end of a council of the church to talk to Paul and his colleagues. All they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. Right the way through the Bible, all the different sections in our Bible invite us, command us to care for the poor and to plead their cause and to stand up for their cause. I want you just to note two things, really important things. So that first one we've already mentioned, justice for the poor, not charity. Let's think of this business as justice. People get trapped for all sorts of reasons and they need liberation. And the other thing I want to say is God does not prefer the poor. Can almost seem trendy sometimes in some areas of Christian teaching these days, almost that God's favourites are the poor. It's just that God knows that the poor are powerless and they need defending. That's why God defends the poor, and that's why his people should defend the poor. Because when you're poor, when you're in a financial situation difficulty, you become powerless and you need defending. The rich don't need defending. It's the poor who need defending. Okay, so we've established the theme right through the Bible is to care for the poor and to defend the poor, to see the poor get justice. But how do we put this into practice? Let's just read those words of James once again. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Now, this text poses a problem for me. We actually had that in our confession this morning, didn't we? We said we asked God to forgive us for not loving our neighbour as we love ourselves. This text is a problem for me. I'm supposed to do something practical to help the poor. I'm supposed to do something practical. But when I'm faced with someone in serious financial problems, few of us have the resources to do anything meaningful to help. This is something I've found over my years in ministry. You know, when someone comes with a proper financial problem, I do not have the equipment to help. I don't have the expert knowledge to advise. I don't have the understanding of how to negotiate with creditors. I don't have the structures to safely give away money and to lend money. I haven't got those structures to do that in a way which is sensible and is worth doing. I can give a meal, which might be a real help in that moment. I can give some clothes, which might be some help in that moment. But those sort of things don't touch real financial need. And very quickly, I can be turned into a hypocrite as a Christian leader, preaching, help the poor. Because few of us have the capacity to do that. And this is where, for me, CAP comes in. Now, when I was giving this message a number of weeks ago at our church, I recorded a little video which we had a little look at together. I went down into an underpass near where I live, up on the edge of Barton, going into Headington to Barton. And there's an underpass there which goes down quite deep. And when you go down the steps, you end up in this pit. And it's not very attractive. The walls are crumbling and there's graffiti over the walls. And I said that actually getting into debt is quite easy. You can go down the steps. But once you're in there, you feel like you're in the bottom of a pit. And you've got these vertical walls, which is just impossible to climb out of. You can feel trapped. And that has many, many impacts on emotions and on mental health and on relationships and on all those things. You can get into that place with debt where you feel trapped. And then I had the camera show the tunnel behind me going, it was an underpass going under the road. And I said, but what if there is a way out from this pit? And what if it's a lovely tunnel? And what if the tunnel is beautifully lit? Because the tunnel out of this dark place, which CAP helps us with, is a tunnel that actually is well lit because there are people to help you, there's people to advise you, there's people from the church to befriend you and to help you, there's encouragements along the way. And then at the end of it, what if there's a light at the end of the tunnel and you come out the other end and you're into the light and you're above ground? And that, for me, is where CAP really has blessed and helped me as a Christian leader talking to a church and us as individual Christians, because we have this command on us to help the poor in a practical way. Few of us can do that by ourselves. But if we lock into something like a CAP organization and assist CAP, we know that poor people are being helped practically to actually resolve their debts. And we're going to hear with a testimony in a few moments about how CAP has helped people get out of real personal financial problems. So let me conclude this. My title, my assertion at the beginning, we are our brother's keeper. We have seen that God has laid on us as his people a responsibility to help those in financial need. This is not principally about charity, but about justice. James, probably the Lord's brother, makes clear that our help must be practical, not just wishful words. And my application is that I think this Sunday that something like CAP is the only way practically we can really do something to really help in those ways. And on the way with CAP, we know that not only are they helping people with their material need, but with CAP, we're trusting that they find their way out of the bigger problem, which is how to be at peace with God and finding a way back to Jesus Christ and finding faith in him and finding that bigger light at the end of the tunnel. Okay, so you're going to hear from Andrew later about how you can help locally. And I think if you wish to get involved in helping CAP nationally, and they do need help, but you've got a juggernaut coming down the road towards us of financial problems in our land. If you want to be helping CAP as well, the CAP head office, then please contact Jenny and she will point you in the right directions to how you can be helping CAP centrally. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to be with you. And I'm sorry, in one sense, to be bringing a message from Scripture that is so challenging, but we're all in the same boat. It causes all of us to look at our own lives and what we're doing. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, James, for that. And yes, a challenging but a necessary message in these days, perhaps even more than any that there have been in a while. So I'm going to invite Andrew to come up now, and Harry and Anne-Marie. So Andrew, if you'd like to come stand here, and Harry and Anne-Marie, you would like to stand here, I'm going to get out of the way and leave you to it.
Thank you very much. Well, it's a real joy and privilege to be here this morning, to be with the small number of folks in the church, but also to be able to talk to folks wherever they may be. Thank you very much for this opportunity. I'm Andrew. I'm the debt centre manager here in Oxford. We have our offices at St Clement's. And I want to start by thanking St Matthew's with St Luke's very much indeed for your involvement with CAP over these years. You've been there from the start, and it's so good to have you as part of our community, join with several other churches to win Oxford for Christ, particularly in this area of debt, and to help people who are struggling financially. So thank you very much indeed. It's great to have Jenny on our board, and we have John Price as well, who's our treasurer, who I'm sure you know, and also Nikki Rayner is our church rep. So please get in touch with them if you want to know anything more at all after this service. Well, it's my privilege to introduce to you Harry and Anne-Marie. I've only met them for the first time this morning, so really great to meet you. And they have a story to tell, so I'm going to ask them a few questions, and they're going to explain a little bit about their involvement with CAP as well. So first of all, let's start, ladies first, with Anne-Marie. Yeah. Can you tell us just a little bit about yourselves, first of all?
Sure. So we met about 16 years ago in church, and we've been married for 14 of those years. We have two very beautiful sons. We both work in education for many, many years. We both love working with children.
Yes.
And we are both from ministerial families. So my father was a minister, and Harry's father was a bishop. Mm-hmm. And so Christianity, growing up in Christian homes, mm-hmm. it's been a big part of our lives for a very long time.
Thank you. That's really helpful to hear some of the context. And Harry, for you now, a little while ago you became involved in CAP, didn't you? Can you tell us a little bit about how that came about?
Yeah, absolutely. Much like the word that we just heard, we were in debt. Mm. We considered ourselves to be reasonable stewards of our money, but 2016 was a particularly difficult year for us because we had a number of different events that meant there were going to be some financial commitments. We had a couple of funerals that particular year. And we found ourselves spiraling in this sort of awful debt situation, much like the walls that we heard earlier were sort of closing in around us. And it was an awful situation. And there was a temptation to try and manage it in perhaps more conventional means by speaking to creditors and asking them to help us through this difficult financial situation that we were facing. But thank goodness, around about 4 years ago, the church that we were worshiping at the time, Emmanuel Church, led by a wonderful man called Matt Partridge, CAP came along and did a presentation, not that dissimilar to today, funny enough. And we remembered that,
yes.
And we decided to reach out to Pastor Matt, who was able to put us in touch with CAP. Mm. And that's how our involvement with the Christians Against Poverty started for us.
Great. Great, thank you very much. So difficult circumstances and a tough situation. So Amory, tell us a little bit about what it was like, or what it has been like, working with CAP.
I think it would be fair to say for the both of us, it was kind of very daunting.
Yes.
A bit of a daunting experience at first,
sure.
Mainly because debt isn't really something that you talk about.
No.
It's not something that you share openly with people. And here we were in a situation where we had to come out of the shadows,
yes.
and be, you know, be frank and be open with, strangers,
yeah.
to be honest, and really kind of take a good look, you know, just sort of acknowledge the elephant in the room,
yeah.
that we kind of, you know, needed some help with the situation that we were in. But they kind of gave us a vision. The vision of where we could be. And although at first that vision was like a tiny little speck in the very, very distant future,
yes.
it was something that we were leading towards and that would ultimately just free us,
yeah.
from the shackles that were that were surrounding us at the time. So CAP was, you know, that they were with us every single step of the way, weren't they?
Yeah, very tender. A lovely lady called Jill Eubank came round and
yes.
and sort of went through the process with us. Very forensic. We had to produce a lot of documentation for CAP to fully
yes.
Embrace and manage the situation that we were in. It was done with tenderness.
Yes.
It was done with a lot of love.
And care.
And
many
care,
prayers.
Many prayers and so on.
Mm-hmm.
The process, as Amory was saying, was daunting to begin with. But it was such an important part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
And what was great about it as well is that they, CAP, they manage the entire financial situation for you.
Yeah.
Practically speaking, you sort of submit a certain amount per month, and then they deal with your creditors. So
it does take quite a lot of the pressure off and the worry off, just knowing that somebody is handling it. It doesn't mean that you completely let go of the reins and forget to steward, you know, your finances and everything. But
Well, thank you. I know a hard journey, but good to hear that having people accompany you during that journey has been really helpful for you. And Harry, can I ask you? I hear that the very good news that you're very close to being debt free. Is that right?
Well, actually, we are. Well, it's interesting how CAP works, because once you are officially debt free, they give you a phone call and there's a celebration, I understand, over the telephone and all the rest of it. So we haven't quite had that call yet. But in real terms, we are completely debt-free.
Wow.
I mean, we are completely liberated.
Yeah.
And we're so thankful to CAP and their care and their guidance throughout the process. So we're really excited. We're sort of at a point where we don't know quite what to do with ourselves, because we've had this cloud over our heads for quite some time, but thank goodness for CAP.
That's wonderful. Just to see the smiles on your faces is such a joy. That's lovely. And I believe that this journey has had some significance for you in terms of your faith. Can you just expand a little bit on that?
Yeah, I think for us it's been so important to know. I think for myself, just knowing that God isn't just, you know, concerned about the huge, immense things, you know, the moments where he gets to flex his muscles, but he shows up at the most, what feels to us to be the most insignificant, the most, smallest of times, because to him it is significant, and ultimately he just wants the very best for us, because he cares. And I think that is the key element, really, that kind of underpins everything.
Yeah, that we have
that
a
CAP.
Yeah, that we
is.
Yeah, indeed.
CAP
sorry.
Cares.
Yeah. Yeah.
Basically, ultimately,
yeah.
And the way that Christ does.
Mm.
So I think for us, it's just like you said, it's liberating, and we just feel so rewarded for all the, you know, that their hard work that they've put in and that we've put in as well.
Absolutely. Now, I want to say as well that God is interested in every part of our lives. He pays attention to every detail of our lives, including practical things like money and so on. So, yeah.
Well, Harry Amory, thank you so much for sharing this morning. I know it's not easy to stand up and explain about such personal, your personal situation, but thank you for being willing to do that, and I hope that's inspired and helped people who've been listening this morning.
Thank you.
I would just like to very briefly just explain ways in which folks might want to be involved. I hope that's inspired you towards thinking about that. So let me just explain one or two things that you might like to consider. The first thing is, we would love you to sign up to our prayer letter. We provide one every single week, which has names of clients and their situations, because we want to pray for these people, that God would touch their lives and help them in to bring them out of what appears to be hopeless situations. So do sign up to that. Get in touch with Jenny if you'd like to do that. The other thing you might like to consider is the CAP Money course. We run this course several times a year all over the city. We've just started doing a remote course for the first time because of the restrictions that we have. But that's a course which helps people with money management. And it's something that I think that all of us, whoever we are, however experienced we might be in this area, we can learn a lesson or two of how to do that even better. So please do sign up to our money course if you'd like to. The other area of involvement is, we would love you to refer people to us. If you know people in your workplace or in your community, one of your neighbours down your street, do get in touch and put them in touch with us. We would love people in our local churches to be referrers for us and to spread the word and to promote what we do. You might want to become a volunteer. I know that there are several people, as well as the people I've mentioned earlier, who are involved as volunteers, and we're really grateful for that. We know St. Matthew's takes that seriously, but we would love even more people to come and join us. we're always in need of befrienders. These are people who work alongside clients like Harry and Anne-Marie to journey with them until they're right out of debt. They're the friend, if you like. They're the supporter. They're the encourager. And if you'd like to be involved in that way, please do ask about that. But also, we need people involved in practical help. It might be that somebody needs some furniture, or that they could really do with being taken to a shop or taken to a bank and helped in very practical ways. Even some social activities, we need volunteers to help in that way. Now, for all of you, one of the things that we want to do better is, as befrienders look after their clients, we want them to be able to draw them into the local church community, including St. Matthew's. So I want to ask everybody, how will you receive a client when they walk through that door, when we're back in a more normal situation? Will you be there to welcome them, to look after them, to draw them in, and make them part of this community so they can belong, they can experience more of our faith and come to know Jesus? And then finally, I'm just thinking of other ways that you might be able to get involved by offering some of your gifts and abilities and talents. It might be that you love to bake cakes. Well, please bake some cakes for clients. It might be that you have a hobby that you could help with to again, bring some gifts. I had a person in one church who came and told me that he makes doll's houses as a hobby. Do I have a client who has a child who might appreciate that as a gift this Christmas time? What a lovely idea. I've been mending bikes for clients and just handing them on as people donate them. So it might be that you've got talents and gifts in those kind of areas. It might be there's just a care package that you could take to a client and encourage them. So all these areas, use your own imagination as well. We also have Christmas hampers we give away every single year. We have some need of people who might act as deliverers, people who could deliver these hampers to people's houses, to clients' houses. If you could help in that way, please do ask Jenny. And one other thing, we've got a new initiative called Adopt a Client. And that is where we're, as it sounds, we're wanting people, an individual, a family, a house group, even a whole church congregation, to adopt one or two clients and to pray for them on a regular basis, to find out information about them and really bring them to God, so that God would help them out of these difficult situations, that they would know his compassion, his love, and his hope. And we can see them come closer to Christ. Thank you very much indeed for listening this morning.